Three of Hearts is a podcast of queer joy and silly laughs coupled with sad people and grave danger. Content warnings can be found in the episode description. Previously on Three of Hearts. Agents Spar and Vellum entered the city of Stonelop with help from the mysterious Cowan Harrington, who turned out to be Vellum's cousin brother, Max, under the influence of a spell that makes them believe that they and Vellum are the same person. At Merafina's suggestion, the agents visited the Temple of Gambler, Goddess of Luck, for guidance. Spar was able to speak with Gambler, who revealed that Providence and Pandemonium were once a singular entity called Prosperity, before something altered them so completely that they split into two. Gambler also offered their assistance, but only if Spar and Vellum could pass a trial. After the agents accepted, Vellum woke up in Vasa Natura in Spar's body and bedroom, with his only instruction being to find Gambler's dice to pass the trial. Clarify some things because I don't know what got said last time. Wait, hold on. This should not be how I start the episode.
I mean, you can start the episode however you got to give me something to cut if you're not going to do a recap while we're recording.
You're right. Well, no, but what I mean is I want this to be in the podcast, so I fear that everything we're saying is now in the episode. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is it now. I'm not sure what I said last time, but I'm just going to restate it more correctly in case I didn't last time. So, Gambler would have told you right before the game started, like, in this, like, quasi-conscious state, that you have until the end of the day to find their two special dice that are somewhere in Vasa Natura, and that is what you currently have to go on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. All right.
Cool.
Spar.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up, but I need to ask Ela. If you're crashing in the Harrington Estate, what does your room look like, Vellum?
At the Harrington Estate?
Yeah.
You can tell that the furniture is older and, like, worn. It's very possible that the furniture is from the Vellum's house originally.
Mm.
Maybe there's some little imperfections in the wood and whatnot that you wouldn't really notice or think about, but Vellum or Gray might know, like, the story behind. Like, oh, well, that cut in the wood there is from when Vellum's Oya was cleaning and knocked over Vellum's mom's sword that was leaning against it, or, you know, something like that. Maybe there's even, like, a little carving somewhere in the bed frame that's, like, little stick figures or people's names or something cute like that.
Yeah,
there's, you know, a few pictures around, definitely at least one bookshelf that is just completely full of books. Like, it is clear that there are enough books that another bookshelf could have been purchased and probably halfway filled, but it has not. Instead, the books are, like, stacked in front of each other so that the books are, like, too deep on each shelf. And then there's books on top of the books laying, like, horizontally just to fill in all of the extra space between the shelves. Totally not a thing that I had.
I was gonna say, I'm devastated to report you're describing my current bookshelf situation.
Yeah, it's absolutely the way that my bookshelves were growing up. And probably will be forever, because I collect books. I like them.
Yep.
I like them a lot. Even though there's a ton of them on my shelf I haven't read yet, like,
oh, yeah.
One day I'm going to. They're there.
Maybe.
Just waiting. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, I think that's a little bit of what his room looks like.
All right. Hey, Spar, you wake up in that room.
Spar immediately sits up and goes to throw his legs over the side of the bed and stand up.
It's harder to do that.
Yeah, I think he probably immediately like crumples on Vellum's weaker side and is like, well,
yeah.
On the bright side, his back hurts differently than it usually does. So,
ooh, it's a nice spice, you know, a new pain.
Yeah, it's different, you know.
New flavor of pain.
Yeah, he feels spry in, like, you know, his upper shoulders and less so in his low back.
Yeah, yeah.
I think probably when he, like, gets himself upright again, he, like, puts a hand on the bed and, like, sort of pushes himself up. He's most weirded out by being at the wrong height.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Also, maybe his vision?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's. I think he, like, runs through the options of, like, I think he probably, with the falling over the different pain in the vision, he thinks he's been poisoned. And then, like, gets upright.
Oh. And is like,
oh, nope, wait a minute. Nope, this is just some bullshit. Okay. And, like, clatters around for Vellum's glasses. And then is like, yep, all right, bullshit confirmed. Yep.
Wow.
Good. Mm-hmm. All right.
Good. Spar may not know magic stuff, but he has a good instinct for bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the same to him, really. That's
yeah. Yeah, fair, fair. And, you know, he's not wrong. Okay. Yeah, what do you do?
I think Spar gets dressed, doing his, like, very best approximation of Vellum, which is, like, pretty, you know, he has Vellum's palette to work with here, so it's, like, pretty okay, but he's like, all right, fancier than I would, things that go together, coordinate.
I think we have to roll, right? I mean, we made Ela do that, or flip.
What, sure.
Sorry, I was playing a dice game yesterday.
Yep.
I mean, sorry, don't tell anybody.
Don't tell Kevin.
Yeah. flip, wit and intelligence, or wit or intelligence and investigation.
All right. So wit is 4 and investigation is 4. I'm healthy, so that would be 9. Would you say that sleuthing counts? Because I know Vellum's name.
You know Vellum's name. Yeah, yeah, so you sure do.
10. I don't know if you want to do a separate flip for this, but well, Spar is also going to like open every drawer in the place and look for dice.
That's, I'll keep it. I'll get one flip.
Okay.
1, 2, 3. I thought you were going to say look for embarrassing baby photos.
9, 10. No, I mean, Spar's a man on a mission. He can get those later.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to spend some drive.
Oh, dear.
One drive. 2 drive. Okay. 3 successes, 1 joker. All right. As opposed to 1 success, 1 joker, which is what it was before I spent that drive.
Alrighty. 3 successes, 1 joker. Yep. Okay, well, you get dressed quite nicely. What do you wear?
Probably what he thinks of as, like, the Vellum uniform, right? Like, nicely tailored slacks, like a good crisp shirt with, like, a contrasting collar, suspenders, waistcoat, jacket.
Okay. Ela, what embarrassing thing does Spar find in one of Vellum's drawers?
Oh, no.
For that joker.
I think he finds what is, like, a first draft of, like, a love letter that Vellum had written at one point in time.
Oh, my gosh.
To whom?
I don't know. Like, it's possible it could have been to Devante. It could have been, you know, another classmate of his at some point. But yeah, he had a crush at some point that he felt the need to write, like, a little love letter. I think it would have definitely been while he was still a student. So whether that was, like, junior high school or older, I'm not sure, but.
So this is an old letter that he still has around.
Yeah. That he probably just had, like, tucked in between a journal, because he had, like, notes on the back of it about something that he was working on.
So Vellum's what, 38?
Mm-hmm. Spar's 35.
So we're looking at like a 20-year-old love note that you have just found.
Spar does not take it with him, but he does see it, note how old it is, note who it is addressed to, and then puts it back where it belongs. He does. Incredible. He does read it, to be clear. He does fully read it, yes. He, not like in an I'm going to embarrass Vellum way, but in a like, oh, this must be important, it's been kept. And like, oh, it's here among all these things I'm rattling. And then like, noted.
Okay, so I'm going to give you something actually useful for this three flips.
Does he pay attention at all to what's on the back of the note?
Does it make sense to him? Like, is it something that he would like know or care about?
It's probably like sketches for an invention or like maybe a mathematical formula.
I think he glances at it, but it doesn't retain it.
Mm-hmm. He's interested in the hot goss.
He's interested to make sure like he knows who his competition is.
This competition 20 years
20
ago.
20-year-old competition.
Well, if Vellum has kept it for 20 years, right? Like,
That's true. Oh. Maybe he's still pining.
And this isn't, it's kind of one thing to keep something someone gave to you for 20 years, but to keep a letter that you started drafting for someone else, like, he just wants to know. He just wants to, like, have that, just want to, more information is good because he is a detective. And his job is to investigate, and that's what he's doing. He's investigating.
Yep. That's for sure. Yep. So you look around for. You look around for any magical dice, and as you're doing that, you find some regular dice, and then something clicks in your head. You see, like, is it reasonable adult Vellum have, like, a desk calendar?
Yeah.
Okay. You see a desk calendar. Based on the date, you're able to put some things together. Mm-hmm. I mean, the date, it would have yesterday's date still, but yeah. You remember a case for suits that you did not work. And you were also kind of aware of it because of your nightlife, that there were some funky, like, enchanted dye that whoever was attuned to it could mentally manipulate the roll. Mm. So they could either make themselves win or somebody else lose. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, people were using this to cheat and gambling. Eventually, that caught Suits' attention, so Suits wanted to hunt down these dye. But whoever had them were smart enough to not stay in one place for a long time. So it was a little bit of an ordeal to find them. Mm-hmm. You do remember hearing something about the dyes being blessed by the gambler. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You don't necessarily, I probably don't remember like who worked that case or anything, but you do remember it being a thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. In that case, Spar is going to attempt to get to work.
Does Vellum drive? How does Vellum get to work every day?
I'd imagine, because we haven't spent much time in Vasa Natura, but it is like a very like solar punk, public transit oriented, like for community oriented space. So I wouldn't be surprised if like there's a streetcar or something.
Yeah, either a streetcar or a street boat. I agree.
Yeah, I think so.
Probably not a boat because Vellum hasn't been on a boat.
That's true. Vellum has not been on a boat. All right. So yeah. I think like a wind-powered streetcar is totally a thing that is here.
Spar, make sure to get a newspaper.
Smart.
A, to like leaf around, leaf through, but B, also to improve his Vellum impression.
Incredible.
Good.
At the bus stop, like a fancy, like a car. It's not like a limo, but it is a car that has a driver and a partition.
Yeah, like an Art Deco style, like big old, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And pulls up beside behind the bus stop, and is like, and then the back window rolls down, and Gray Harrington sticks her head out and says, "Kevlin, what are you doing here?"
"I was on my way into work, Uncle."
What about your date?
God, you know, it completely slipped my mind with everything that was going on in the office.
And Gray kind of puts their head in their hands and is just like, "Look, I am kind of calling in a favor to get you on this, like, this blind date, right? Like, you seem excited about it. It's a little bit Disappointing that you forgot, but do you want a lift?
Oh, I would love one. I'm so sorry. There's been so much going on. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. Just
get in the car and smooth his hair back. It's the wrong texture and that weirds him out.
Gray is like looking up and down at the fact that you're dressed like for work and not really for leisure, and just doesn't really say anything. Mm-hmm. And just says, "Yeah, I worry about you, Callan. You
is this like a morning date, like a brunch?
It's like a brunch, yeah.
Okay."
And Gray says, "Yeah, I worry about you, Callan. Sometimes you look your work with suits is admirable, but you know." You established a very efficient organization. You are allowed to take some time off to take care of yourself, and you need to prioritize that more.
I know. You're right, Uncle.
She seems like a little weirded out, but like kind of not satisfied and like looks out the window. And you get taken to a cafe in like the old part of Vasa Natura, where the buildings are. Very tall and wide and elven. It's a cafe called Cafe du Yule, and it has a big, like, outdoor, like, seating area. Mm-hmm. Gray says, just tell the greeter that you're under my reservation and you'll be taken to the table. And have fun. I think you two will get along.
Thank you.
Yeah, so do you do that?
How far are they from Suits headquarters?
like clear across town.
Spar's going to go in. He's going to treat this like it might be a lead.
Mm-hmm.
And if it seems like instead it is an obstacle, he's going to fake an emergency.
Sounds great.
That's his plan.
Mm-hmm. That's a good plan. Mm-hmm. Ela, I have a question. Does this character work for Suits at this time? I can't remember.
How many years ago is this?
Like maybe 4? I don't know. How long was Sparta and Tatiana? How long ago was that?
I think 4 years is probably reasonable. I think at 4 years ago would be the time when he was like trying to disengage from her.
That's perfect. That's what I'm imagining.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. So you are brought by the greeter to a table where... Wait, so you say yes or no to working at Suits, Ela?
Yes, because I also think that's how Iris knows this person.
Oh, that's right. So yeah, you are taken to a table with a co-worker, Ace Harland, is waiting for you. Ela, what does Ace look like today?
Good question. Let me flip something. What should I flip? Just a luck card?
I think a luck flip. Red, he looks normal. Black, he's cursed.
Well, he's cursed.
All right, what do we got? What's the flavor of the day?
The flavor of the day is that he is cursed with Rapunzel-length hair.
How is he wearing it?
Badly.
Okay.
All loose behind him and like on the floor.
No, he's got it braided as well as he can. I think mm-hmm. he probably has quite a bit of practice with braiding with all of the siblings and nibblings that he has, but mm-hmm, it's mm-hmm. so long that it's a little bit unmanageable. Mm-hmm. So he's probably got like a messy braid and just kind of has it looped around the chair or something, like to try to keep it out of everyone's way.
Mm-hmm. How familiar would Spar be with Ace?
I don't think that familiar, just like he is another field agent at Suits. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you probably see him like most days, but I don't think you guys are necessarily friends.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think that they've necessarily worked together before.
Right.
On a case.
Vellum sits down.
Okay, great.
And it's like, I'm so sorry to have kept you waiting.
Ace smiles and says, oh, not at all. I was here a little early.
how's your morning going so far?
The hair was a fun problem. Hopefully it sorts itself out by the end of the day, or else I may go get a haircut.
That would be very reasonable.
Yeah, it's this length is unreasonable.
Yep.
So, how was your morning?
You know, it has been a little odd. I mean, I'm a little surprised, really, that Uncle Gray set me up with a coworker. I feel like the dynamics here might be a little strange. I mean, you do wonderful work. Excellent agent. But I'm not sure that I would feel comfortable necessarily. Can I get you coffee?
Yeah.
One thing Valmond's Far would never do is date a coworker.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
I mean, Spar doesn't date coworkers, aside from like whatever he has going on with Ishbala, which is not dating. But Spar's also not a founder of Suits.
That's so fair. Mm-hmm. So you're saying Velen's canceled, but Spar's fine. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. What was it that Velen had said?
He asked if he could get Ace some coffee.
That would be lovely. With a bit of cream, if you don't mind.
Of course. And Spar will go fetch coffee. Even if this is like a sit down place, he'll I'd go find a server. He needs to get away from this table for a moment.
Amazing. Okay. What are you doing away from the table?
Taking a moment. Trying to channel Velen. And he's thinking, he's trying to think through, has Velen ever dated anyone at Suits?
What's the answer to that question, Ela?
No.
Okay. Yeah, he's scanning.
I think he and Ace went on this one date and that was the only time.
All right, good. He's scanning, he's reviewing, he's flipping through the files in his mind. Mind files.
The mind files based on the really very real files that he's read.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. All the Velen's dating history isn't in the real files, so he had to augment the real files with the mind files.
Right. Yeah. There's some addendum pages.
Does seeing Ace spark any memories about the dice case? Because Ace is also altered, right? Yes?
I think he's just cursed. Okay. I think it's a totally different magical phenomenon. Okay. Sure. I don't think so. You would hear Ace, definitely. He's definitely buzzing at you. But,
question. What?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. He wouldn't be. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. I'm sorry. I need to ground myself.
Is the magic special to Spar's body or to Spar's soul?
No. The tinnitus, that situation, we already confirmed Velen has it. In Spar's body. Okay. So,
yeah.
Cool. That's probably weird to not have kind of that constant background buzzing.
Yeah. It's like both a relief and a little bit it's sort of the opposite of, right? It's like when you walk out of a concert or some place that's been very loud and everything sounds kind of like muffled and your ears are ringing. Mm-hmm. That's the sensation, mm-hmm. even though what has happened is the ringing has gone away.
It's like the opposite,
feels almost
yeah.
like he's missing something. It feels like a stumble. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a sense I don't think he thinks about reaching for. It's just there. He just knows. He has it is a thing that orients him towards the world that is just missing.
What I will say, or actually, you know what? This is the game. Go ahead and flip. I'm going to say wit or intelligence and streetwise. I think that's the best thing that makes sense to this. Try to remember if Ace had any relation to this case.
Okay. If I'm honest, I don't think that's wit. I think that's intelligence.
Okay.
Which is not good for me. Because that's a one and a nothing in streetwise.
Two flips, baby.
No successes.
Okay, yeah. Ace is not ringing any bells for you.
Sure.
I intentionally made that hard because the thing it would have given you was, like, so unlikely that Sparta would remember it. So, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So Spar brings back the two cups. He's fixed his coffee the way he takes it, which is black with lots of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And sets it down. It's like, you know, I'm so sorry. I really wish Gray had checked with me. I guess that defeats the purpose of a blind date, but I'm sorry if this puts you in an awkward position.
If I'm being honest, I think that my friend who worked with Gray to set this up, that she was really hoping you could help me figure out some of the curses that I seem to, that seem to be drawn to me.
Oh dear.
Spar tries very hard to make a vellum face of academic interest, mm-hmm, and not a Spar face of, yeah, okay, it's on the fucking list. All right, I'll get to it. And it's like, you know, that makes a great deal of sense. This morning, I'm actually chasing down a really time-sensitive lead on a case, but I would love to get in touch with you to see if we can figure out this curse thing. I would love to help with that.
Thank you. Do you need any help with the case? I know you're not usually one for field work.
Jordan?
Hi.
The answer may be Spar has no idea. But does Spar get the sense that, like, part of the game is pretending successfully to be Vellum, or is the game just find the fucking dice?
It's find the fucking dice.
Okay. Spar's like, you know, Agent Harlan, you may be exactly the person I need.
Oh?
What if I told you that I too appear to be under some kind of extremely unlikely curse?
I'm all ears. What do you have going on today?
Okay, I'm actually Miriam Felspar inside the Kowlin Vellum, which makes this date thing actually doubly awkward because I didn't false pretenses.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Although I'm sure Kowlin would actually. That's like exactly his shit. He would totally let. Although this is 4 years in the past, it's a whole thing. Don't worry about it.
his eyes go big.
And like total demeanor shift. He is absolutely no longer doing like Kowlin Vellum. This is like visibly Spar, even though it's in like his body, right?
This is fascinating to look at, I'm sure.
Yeah.
In the TV show of this.
Mm-hmm. So Spar's like, do you maybe it's not even remember for you. Do you know about the case with the gambler's dice? Is that a thing that you're like looped into at all?
Ela, go ahead and flip wit or intelligence and streetwise for Ace.
Wit is 2, streetwise is 9, 1 for healthy. We got 1 king.
Okay. Yeah, so you don't remember like details of the case, but you know who's assigned to it, which is Agent Juno Fisticuff.
Mm-hmm.
Who is a pixie, and then a human martial artist named Lilith Adelia.
Okay. So Ace will say, I'm not on this case, but I believe Agents Juno and Lilith are on it.
Does Spar have any feelings about those agents? Like, what are they like? Who are they to him?
Yeah.
Who are they doing?
Who are they to him?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know who they're
doing.
It's
not my business who they're doing. That's a later problem.
Uh-huh.
So, honestly, yeah, I think that, like, along with, like, Spar and Ishbala, they're, like, kind of the star field agents. Like, these are the people that get assigned when things are, like, time sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Juno is a retired pixie boxer mm-hmm. who is now a detective, and he's very good at detecting. Mm-hmm. And Lilith is actually more the brawn, because Juno is really only the brawn if the thing is pixie-sized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is the dynamic there.
All right, Sparkus, shit. All right, thank you. Do you want to... So sorry to cut this short. Would you be amenable to coming back into the office? Maybe I think we could still use your help.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, I can tell you the different things I've tried when I was in somebody else's body.
That would be great, actually. I would love that. Thank you.
I've never okay. had the time distortion bit before, but yeah, usually the first thing you want to try is you want to kiss the person that you're switched bodies with, which is weird because you're kissing yourself, but you know, like,
yeah, well,
due to fairy tales, that's always the first thing you want to try.
Yeah, I don't think this is exactly a curse, but that's a good one. I will keep that in my pocket. Thank you, Agent Harlan.
Can either of you flip, or both of you flip, wit investigation?
Sure. All is right. it about a person whose name I know?
Yeah, go ahead and take that plus one.
All right. 7, 8, 9, 10. Ooh, all right. Queen of Hearts for a crit, plus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 other successes.
Holy moly, how many are we looking at?
8 successes, I think. Let me double check. So that's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 successes.
Wow, wow, wow. Okay.
I got 2.
Okay. Let me see what I can give you for 8 here. Spar,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get some extra insight. So both of you notice something, which is that you are not the only suits agents here on a date this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Lilith Adelia is across the the outdoor area.
Mm-hmm.
And she is like a human woman. She's got kind of like straight dark hair. She's very like, my vibe for her is like femme goth, a lot of like black makeup, but then like a lot of pink bows happening in her mm-hmm. life.
Mm-hmm. Cute.
And definitely dressed like for a date. And then across from her, sitting on the table, is a pixie, Sorrel Felspar. And Spar, you remember this date being awkward. They didn't have much in common and it was incredibly short-lived.
Mm-hmm.
Was this also a blind date?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe Sorrel got invited to, like, some kind of suits, like, holiday function, and then was like, this person's cute, and asked them on a date.
Little mixer.
Yeah, and then was like, well, we have nothing in common. So, what I guess I'll give you, like, my point here is that Lilith is currently held up in a date.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps if the date were to go on longer, she'd be waylaid longer.
So, Spar's gonna write a note.
Okay.
To Sorrel, probably using a nickname that's like just between the two of them, so like she would know the notice from him.
Ooh, okay, love it.
She might also recognize his handwriting.
Well, see, that's the thing, is like I don't know how much handwriting is like, because it's muscle memory, right? His hands are the right size and shape.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And like is Velum a lefty?
I think that's what we said, right?
Yeah, and Spar's not. So, like, there's a lot going on here. Okay.
Cool.
He might just get Ace to write the fucking note for him. Let's be real.
Wait, I have to know, what's the nickname?
I'm working on it. I'll circle back to that.
Okay, all right.
But, yes, it says, like, Sorrel, can't tell you why, on a case. Need you to stay on this date as long as possible. What's something Sorrel likes? What's something he can reward her with?
Ooh. pay for Sorrel's next tattoo.
We'll pay for your next 2 tattoos.
Wow.
You can get information to me about the case she's working on. 1 tattoo if you can make the date last longer.
This is savage because Spar never has to follow up on this promise.
Spar's not thinking, like, Spar's treating it as if he would, because he's, like, fucking in it, right? Like,
I know, yeah, yeah.
He's, like oh, fucking doing the math, like, okay, well, if I, fucking Christ, snail races, and if I just stick to beer for a couple of months, fine, it'll be fine. And he signs it... Yeah, he signs it Spar, like not Agent Felspar, not Maram, not Mary. Uh-huh. He signs it Spar, which is like that's what he prefers to be called, right?
So right,
like
right.
Uh-huh. Someone forging, I think, wouldn't necessarily reach for that if they were like interacting in a professional capacity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think he calls her Relly.
What is it?
Relly?
Relly? Oh, that's cute.
The back half of her name. That's like from when he was like littler and like had trouble with getting an entire word.
That's lovely.
What's Ace's reaction to having this dictated?
He's kind of like amused, maybe bemused, maybe seamused. Sure. But he's like, yeah, sure. I mean, gotta figure out the case. It's really important to you, huh?
Yeah, it's weirdly, I think it's life or death.
Oh wow, we better get a move on then.
Yeah, he will send Ace to deliver the note.
Okay. Ace, how do you handle that situation?
I think he approaches their table and like clears his throat a little bit to get their attention and says, I'm so sorry to interrupt. I just ran into Agent Felspar and he had a note he wanted me to send you. And he looks to Sorrel.
Okay.
I don't know if he knows Sorrel's full name, if they've met before. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to call her
probably
the
not.
Familiar name for sure. So
Right. Lilith looks at the paper and is like, that's a little big. Do you mind am I allowed to read it or is it private?
I think it's private. I'm sorry.
Spar would have had Ace write it like as small as possible.
Yeah.
There may even be like a shorthand
got it.
Is used so that like humans can make letters to pixies smaller.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah. So Lilith actually then averts her gaze like politely as like the letter is placed in front of Sorrel.
It's probably still like big to Sorrel. Like I'm sure it's like half her body, like
yeah.
But it would be like more like a big newspaper than it would be like a folding screen.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so anyway, Lilith looks away so she doesn't see it. Sorrel looks over the note, kind of furrows her brow, and is like, "Oh, thank you."
Yep. Have a good brunch, and he like scuttles away.
She's like, "Wait, are you a waiter? I want a mimosa."
And I think also Spar would have had Ace draw a marigold at the very bottom, like aww. next to the sign next to Spar. Nice. Be like,
uh-huh.
It's really me. I promise.
Cool.
Okay, hold on. 6, 7. Alrighty. Sorrel got 4 successes and a joker. So. Okay, I know what that's gonna mean. We'll get to that in a bit. All right, are we wrapped up? Is brunch wrapped up, I think?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Shall we scuttle on over to the Mitra?
Yes, let's scuttle.
Are there mimosas at the Mitra?
There are mimosas at the Mitra.
Oh, okay. Thank God. I could go for a mimosa.
Afternoon, morning, or evening. My name is Jordan Quiverns. I'm the GM, host, wingman of this podcast. My pronouns are they, them, and I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. I'm so tired.
I'm also tired.
Wow. I thought you were Ela.
How about you, SA?
I'm doing great. I definitely didn't almost pass out 12 hours ago on my bathroom floor. So, like, we're good. We're good over here.
Oh, that's so good to hear. It's a really, really specific way of saying you're doing well, but I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then there was also an almost passing out, not almost passing out on my kitchen floor, too. So, you know, some spice. Gotta
Jesus. All right.
Yeah, it was a rough, it was like a rough half an hour, but we got there.
Sounds like it. Do you have pronouns to say while you're talking about yourself?
Yeah, I do, I guess. I do have blue hair and pronouns, unfortunately. my pronouns are she, her. I play Agent Felspar, who is Agent Felspar, even when he is trying to be Agent Vellum. He uses he, him pronouns, although as Agent Vellum, I think he would also answer to they, them pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
My agent fact for the day is that Spar's friends stopped setting him up on blind dates when he would like fully set up surveillance ahead of time to like scope out who the date was, like preferably with enough time to like do some reconnaissance on them. Like he would like fully like read his friends' notes to each other, like get it, like no respect for privacy when them meddling in his love life is concerned. And so eventually his Excellent. Friends were like, it is not fucking worth it. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Ela?
My name is Ela Alexi. I play both Agent Ace Harland and Agent Cowlin Vellum. Vellum uses they and he pronouns, like me. Ace uses any pronouns. This week's Agent Vellum fact and Agent Ace fact comes from a meme that I saw online and thought was fun. So the meme is a picture of this cat. I believe it was like a black cat or maybe like a little bit gray, with the note about someone's cat having gotten lost and they found the cat, brought it home, and then a week later, their cat came home. So now they have two identical cats.
I think they're black and white cats.
Black and white cats. Yes, that sounds right. So for Vellum, the idea I had was that in the future, perhaps, when he and Felspar cohabitate together with Destiny, Vellum tries to do this intentionally. In order to have two cats without getting permission to have a second cat. And if Felspar tries to point out that no, they are in fact two different cats, Vellum is like completely deadpan, just like, nope, they're the same cat. And willfully ignores that they are two different cats.
Wonderful.
Spargo's like full conspiracy board, like taking photos, like gets photographs of the two cats standing together. Like 100% is like, I will has basically an analog PowerPoint presentation to prove that they are two cats. He will not be gaslit.
Good. That's good. I'm proud of him.
Is this our first a future agent fact?
I think so. So I guess that makes this cat either Destiny 2 or maybe Fate were both names I was thinking about for this second cat.
That's adorable.
For Agent Ace, similar thing that had happened was one day B-Team got a case and they were looking for Ace and couldn't find him. But they did find a ginger cat and took it on the mission with them. It was a very successful mission. Things went off without a hitch for once, it seems. And he didn't have his voice modulator, and he didn't always like do what they told him or follow the plan, but it all worked out. And like they're celebrating afterwards at an Applebee's or something and run into actual Ace, and they do double takes, and turns out they had this whole mission with just a regular kitty cat. And Ace was like, I told you guys that I had to take the day off because it was Samantha's recital you didn't notice. And he's a little bit crestfallen that they didn't notice that he was not that the cat was not him. But it's okay because the cat was pretty great, and they all get more dollar shots.
Wonderful.
And Ace makes sure that the kitty cat gets a nice good meal. And if it seems like a kitty that wants a home and not like enjoying the life of being a stray or a working cat, then he will do what he can to find it a home.
That cat was employee of the month at Suits that month.
Yeah. Maybe this kitty is an honorary Suits agent. And
yeah, he's deputized. You know what? Yeah.
They become a working cat at Suits where... They, yeah. Their main job is to greet people to help offer first impressions on people that walk into Suits, you know, whether that is a happy or curious little like, this person doesn't seem like they have good intentions and they hiss. But
perfect.
Yeah, they are front desk cat now.
Love it. My fact for this week is for Gray, who the reason that they were so distraught about Vellum missing the date was actually that they had just told Jack yesterday that they set Vellum up for a blind date with Ace, and Jack thought it was going to go poorly, and Gray really stood up for Vellum and thought it was going to go well. Aww. And it didn't want to be wrong.
Yeah.
Oops. Sorry, Gray. Well, oops. I think it's going well.
Yeah, it hasn't gone poorly yet. I mean, I don't know how the real thing went.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's Three of Hearts. That's the intro.
That's it. That's the show.
No. We're going back. I hope you enjoy the rest of the episode, and we'll catch you next time.
And if you want to reach out to us on social media or just like reblog stuff that has our vibes, we use the hashtag #ThreeHeartsCast as three separate words.
Yes.
So if you want to add to the tags, we are most active on Tumblr and not necessarily, there's a possibility of becoming active on Instagram. It could happen.
It could happen. Mm-hmm. Anything's possible. I also wanted to actually add, if you're like want access to Three of Hearts Patreon stuff, but you don't want a monthly subscription, we do have two things on our Three of Hearts Patreon, which is patreon.com/threeheartscast. In the new Patreon shop feature, you can buy the Quiet Year miniseries we did called Vasa Obscura, which I believe is $4, $1 per episode. That's a really fun miniseries, and it goes wild places. You've probably heard it referenced a million times if you're this far in this show. It's worth listening to. And the other thing is the novella Tempest in the Teapot, which is about Anya and Josepha, that I wrote, and it's like 22,000 words, and you should read them. And that's $5 on our Patreon. Thank you for Money Talks. Goodbye.
This message will self-destruct.
In the car with Ishbala almost to Suits headquarters, and Ishbala is scarfing down an omelet with a lot of meat, I think is what she got for breakfast.
That sounds right.
Between bites, she's like, so Spar.
Yes.
You smell like Tatiana.
Yep.
You keep doing this and then being like, I'm not gonna do this anymore, and like, I'm not your boss, I'm just like, you know, I'm worried you're acting against your interests here and maybe leading on a potential stalker, killer, kidnapper.
Tati is a lot of things.
Yeah, I just made a list.
I'll have a talk with her. It's, I know I've been putting it off, but I will.
Well, I think more effective than the talk would be not getting into bed with her.
Yeah. Yeah, step one, talk to her. Step two, not getting into bed with her. Step three, changing the locks on the apartment. Got it.
Yeah. And each fall, like, pats Bar on the back. And it's just like, you know, I guess I'm proud of you for having the sense to know that dating her is a terrible idea. That's step one, really. So you're already on your way.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Any exciting stalker kidnapping bad choice relationships for you?
Just the one I have with you, man. All right.
I gotta keep up my my notes on you.
She says, yeah, honestly, things have been kind of weird. How long do we think Sparrow and Ishbala have known each other, Essay?
How long has Ishbala been with Suits?
That's what I'm asking you. I'm impartial.
Sure. So I think we've said Ishbala was like among the first, she was probably like in the first generation of crocodilians to join.
Right.
Let's see, Sparmath. So in this flashback, Spar's 31. Uh-huh. I don't know, give him another 4 years previous to this.
Okay.
That sounds like maybe, good. You know, like I don't think they became instant besties when they both joined. Mm-hmm, and probably mm-hmm. like it took a little time for them to be like paired up together. And then once they were paired up, it was like, okay, yeah. And then they like got really, really close. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I would say probably at this current date, current pod, Spar 35. Mm-hmm. He and Ishbala have been like tight for 8 years.
Okay, cool. So anyway, Ishbala is just like, it's tough. My family, I know you know some of this, but my family made a big sacrifice, cutting ties with Claudio so that I could join Suits.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the exact deal is. I stay out of that stuff. But apparently, Claudio is just trying to get my uncle back in because he knows some things that are dangerous. And he's like, well, we're going to have to either like keep a close eye on you or you're going to have to work for us. And saying some vaguely threatening things about my niece. And it just sucks that I feel like kind of responsible for that drama. Anyway, that's my 8 a.m. feelings.
Yeah. I don't really know what would be good advice, but I'm always happy to listen if you ever want to talk about it.
She like squints at Spar. And it's just like, yeah. Thanks.
Or, you know, if you want to go find someone to punch, we can go do that too.
There it is.
Woo! That's more my speed.
See, SA is sitting here like, that's extremely sweet. That's what Spar would think. It is not what Spar would say.
Yes, yes.
That's exactly. A very vellum thing to say. But then we got it. Ela brought it around. Ela got there.
That was me consciously being vellum.
Right.
Even though Vellum maybe didn't realize it.
Mm. Ishbala is like, for a second I thought you'd been like body snatched or something.
That would be strange, wouldn't it?
Hold on, she's flipping something. One, two.
I don't three, know if Vellum is especially good at lying. Let alone lying to other agents or to Ishbala, who he's got kind of a not fully friendship, not really antagonistic, but just kind of
right. Well, can you flip either charm perform or charm lying? And I think you're going to get minus one for not being in your own body.
Yeah. And I think he is a little bit nervous because he realized he was mm-hmm. being out of character for Spar, and then he covered mm-hmm. it, and then she said something, and he's like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. The eyebrows don't work quite the same, and you can't hide behind your glasses in quite the same way.
Yeah. So you said lying and wit?
No, charm and either lying or performance.
Charm is two. I do have two in lying. One for healthy, but minus one.
Yeah.
I do get a plus one for eclectic. Do, do, do. And this is charm, which is not body and mind. Okay. That is one success.
Okay. He's probably got five successes.
Good. I was kind of hoping.
She got a queen of hearts.
That's my girl.
Yeah. So she says, she like literally pulls over the car and uh-huh. is like, okay, what's going on?
Okay. Agent Ishbala, I don't fully know what's going on, but I would feel much better if we can meet up with the actual Agent Felspar. Because hopefully...
Okay, what does that mean? Who are you?
My name is Cowlin Vellum.
Okay, I know who that is. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay, so I don't really know how all of this is working, but there's some time shenanigans, and Agent Felspar and I were working on a case, and now we seem to have switched. At least I hope he is in my body, because if he's not, I don't know who is.
Okay. Well, that's... good to know. Okay, where would you be today?
Where would I be? What day is it?
She tells you the date. Wind chimes ring in the car.
Trunk uh-huh. opens, butterflies flap past.
Should I flip to see if Vellum also remembers or doesn't yeah. remember the
yeah,
blind date?
Yeah, intelligence, streetwise, or history. Or, sorry, investigation, I guess?
Intelligence is four. Streetwise is two. One for healthy, one for eclectic. Okay, we got an ace of hearts, which is not a crit for Vellum. Unfortunately, it is for Ace. and a joker.
One success, one joker. Okay.
Yep.
Do we want to ante this joker? Or do we want to... I mean, it's low stakes, but we are winding toward the end of the recording, so...
Yeah.
Ela, it's up to you.
I'm good either way. If it's... I'm not sure what the joker would be.
I do. I know. Okay, so... for a joker, you're going to remember that you're on a blind date, but not remember where it was at.
Okay.
I think that's fine.
That's fine to let it ride.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think for better or for worse, eventually everybody's going to wind up at Suits HQ.
Right.
Yeah.
So this, it wouldn't be like a day ruining.
Right.
Mix up.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what you recall.
I was supposed to have a blind date today. And then after that, I think I was going to head into the office.
Hmm. Ishbal kind of chuckles at that and is like, well, no offense, but with Spar on that blind date, I think it's probably going to go pretty well.
I have several favorite things about Spar. One of them is his ability to end a conversation, but the other one is that you never ever have to worry about looking at him and going like, you know, this plot would just, it would wrap up so quickly if people would just fucking talk to each other, because he's like, yes, exactly, I'm on it, who can I tell the truth to?
Mm-hmm. Vellum chuckles and is like, yeah, he's pretty charming, isn't he?
Ishbal, like, wide eyes at you, like, I mean, I wouldn't say that.
Wouldn't you?
She's uncomfortable.
Farah and Ishbala may or may not be sleeping together at this moment. So,
yeah, for sure, for sure. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Vellum knows that, but he knows they're close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody knows that.
He shrugs and is like, regardless, I don't remember where it was at. So other than possibly making a strange phone call to Uncle Gray, we could head to the office.
Yeah, I mean, I want to give Spock the benefit of the doubt that he's not just going to try to hook up with your date in your body. Like, yeah, Spar would do a lot of dumb things, but I don't think that's on the list of dumb things that he would do. So I think he'll probably try to go to the office.
Hmm. Vellum has a serious thinking face.
Each follow starts up the car and drives to Suit's headquarters. And ooh. Yeah.
Since this is in the past, Vellum would know who the blind date was with.
Uh-huh.
So I think he'll even say, it was a date with Agent Harland.
She'll nod. Did you already say it was a blind date?
Yes.
Like, how do you know that?
There's weird time shenanigans. Did I say that earlier?
I tuned most of what you said out. And she just keeps her head down and drives to Suits.
In fairness, she would be familiar with people knowing who their blind date is when they're very much not supposed to.
Yeah, that's so true. But she expects that at a Spar, not Vellum.
But they are both agents, so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we all know what a nerd Vellum is.
Right. She's like, am I the only normal Suits agent?
Possibly.
I don't know that Ishbala is normal. I don't know that anyone's normal in this show or in life.
Everyone's a little queer.
Mm-hmm. We get to Suits. I don't think the Suits agent cat exists yet to greet us, so we're not greeted by a cat, unfortunately.
Sadness.
What should the receptionist of Suits be? What's their deal?
Could Greggins be filling in for them today?
I mean, who doesn't love a Greggins cameo?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Greggins is behind the desk. He's like clearly like working on like other paperwork for like his more important duties, but he's also manning the desk. And it's like, Agent Felspar, Ishbala, welcome to work. Spar, someone's on hold for you. Well, actually, your sister's on hold for you on the phone. Do you want to take this?
Sure.
I told you you'd be at any moment. I'm glad that you were relatively on time today.
Yep. All thanks to Ishbala here.
Greggins gives a thumbs up.
And Vellum, like, awkwardly, like, pats Ishbala's shoulder.
Ishbala goes, like most of Spar's successes, yes.
Where does Vellum take the call? Does he go to, do they have?
Actually, you know what? I don't think Ishbala would necessarily keep that act going on of being kind of a bitch if Spar's not around. So I don't think she would say that. What were you saying though?
Where does Vellum go to take the call? Is it like forwarded to his desk or?
It can be, but I mean, he would offer it to you like right here at the reception desk.
I think he'll ask to have it forwarded to the desk. That way it's not like right in front of Greggins.
Okay. I believe Spar has canonically won Cadwin's desk in a game of cards at one point. And so there's currently a second desk stacked on top of Spar's desk when you get there.
Cool. Vellum just nods at it like, yep, all is right with the world.
And you take the phone call?
Yep.
Sorrel says, Spar, hi, I got your note. Is everything okay?
Everything is okay. We do have a little wrinkle in that I am not Agent Felspar, but I believe he is on his way to the office any minute now.
Wait, what do you mean you're not Agent Felspar? Did you write me the note?
Yes.
She hangs up the phone, and that's the end of the episode.
Oh, no. Well.
That's an upsec for her, right? Like, that's like Sprout's proud of her. That's what she did. That's good. That's good work that she did.
Oh, fuck.
Good.
Three of Hearts is S.A. Monik Tola as Agent Felspar and our primary editor, Ila Alexi as Agent Vellum and our artist, and Jordan Quiverns as our host. We play a game called Space Kings, created by Kevin Cole and Super Tri Studios. You can purchase the game at spacekings.space. Our intro music is Dogtective, our mid-tro theme is At Last a Piano, and our outro is Ghost plus Guest. All of these tracks are by Louis Zong, and they can be found at louiszong.bandcamp.com. We also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/threeheartscast, all spelled out, that is T-H-R-E-E, heartscast. Support us for any price you can afford, and receive access to all perks, including gag reels, and to the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and written stories set in the world of our podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
You know, Vellum, I have him having proficiency at lying, but he does not lie well.
No.
Now, you know who really should have that proficiency in lying is not Vellum.
Right.
But perhaps the other half of Felspar.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Like, maybe it's that he's good at lying when he can prepare himself a bit and have like a false identity and all that, but when it's on the spot and he doesn't really know what's going on, he panics and is just honest to a fault.
Yeah,
that's kind of how I've been playing him anyway.
Honestly, I think her next move would just be to call Ishbala, so that'll be next time.
Cool. Because I thought about him not answering, or him like telling her the whole truth, but I don't know if he would. Either way, his plan was to tell Spar that she called when she got here and for him to call her back. So
gotcha. This
works too.
Well, Sora's calling from the restaurant, so I don't know if Spar is going to, well, he'd have to like look it up in the phone book. Anyway.